Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now offering a weekend basketball bonus. Place four $50 basketball bets, and regardless of the outcome, you're going to get a free $50 bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And finally, we're brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $25,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And of course, speaking of apps, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Heidi ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the Mighty MMA Gambling Podcast and the Mighty Mighty Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 124. We'll dedicate this to Song Yadong, who last night made my prophecy come true. My co-host is a fool. Like I said last episode, Mr. Yadong made that come true. So thank you, Mr. Yadong. I love Yadong. Thank you for coming to the podcast. I would be your host. I'm not sure what nickname I'm going with right now. What should my nickname be? Oh, I believe my nickname, I remember what it was. It's Jeff Kung Fu Panda, I believe. No, not Panda. Don't let my co-host talk yet, so he can't bail me out here. I'm going to have to check my records here. I'm Kung Fu Somebody Fox. I think I was named last episode. All the hardcores are pulling their hair out, screaming at their podcasting devices what I am. I'm a Kung Fu Monkey. That's what I am. Same as Song Yadong. So anyhow, this is the part of the podcast where I go with no parachute, no rope, no net, nothing. I just freestyle, and it always goes sharply into the ditch. So let's hurry up and bring in my co-host so he can save me and be my parachute. He had an opposite night last night. He did good on one thing and bad on the thing he usually does good on. So we'll get into that shortly. But he's the one, the only, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, that was so hard for me not to just reach out and yell that at you, but like
monkey,
you were struggling, so I had to let you. And it was also super funny because you're just talking about Song Yadong and then forgot.
I know, and that's who it is too. Yep.
Forgot his nickname. My recommended plays, I'm pretty sure, just hinged on Terrence McKinney. It would have been a profitable. Yeah, it would have been a profitable night if he had not gotten a little over his skis early in that first round.
I'm so upset about that.
It's like I am and I'm not, because like on another sense, right, we won a couple weeks ago on him when he was fighting Farah Zaim as an underdog, right? And yep. I would argue he won that fight because he fights that way, right? Because he came out like a ball of energy trying to finish it in 30 seconds. And Farah Zaim is not ready for that kind of wrestle heavy grappling, I'm going to get in your face approach. And now he's going to fight guys like Drew Dober, who are, as I said on the show Wednesday, a massive step up in competition. I think he was always going to see one of these losses. It's probably best that he got it now. But he won us underdog money before doing exactly what he just did, and it didn't work this time.
See, there's Mr. Sunshine always putting a positive spin on things. On the mic, off the mic, he's one of the most miserable millennials you'll ever meet. But on the mic, you always have a positive spin, which is nice. So, but we'll get into it obviously when we break down the fight card. But that it just shows how one fight or even a few seconds in one fight can swing your whole night. Because that was like a $250 swing for us if we had hit that one. But nonetheless, we soldier on. So. Very exciting night of fights, as my co-host emailed me at the start of the night. But then I realized why I hadn't watched everything by then. But I realized he was mostly excited because he hit six straight fights in a row, with his picks, including a couple of underdogs. So I think that's why you were so enthused about the early action.
A little bit, but I would also say if you were not enthralled by at least, I gotta say the first. Five, but even Javid Basharat beating Trevin Jones is good. Dude, those first six fights were so good. And the one, you know, J.J. Aldrich versus Jillian Robertson was pretty damn boring. But apart from that and the main event, even the ones I got wrong were massively exciting.
All right, so that concludes the episode pretty much, right? five minutes, we're done.
I nailed it.
People are
lucky.
I'm on vacation. I'm 2 hours even more farther north than I usually am, and I'm still recording this. So if I sound farther away, is that how it works? This technology works farther away now?
I don't know what technology you're using. He was trying to describe to me how he had internet today, and I don't understand any of that.
It's like a stick you plug in up here at the cottage. It's roughing it. Satellite TV, that's the only thing that's roughing up here is there's no Wi-Fi. Everything else is like, you know, heat, air conditioning, multiple satellites, washer, dryer, all that stuff. A town a couple minutes away. Bellator used to host events 20 minutes away from here at a casino, so we're not exactly roughing it, but still.
Bellator used to host events up there?
Yes, they did. It's true. There's a massive casino up here. So.
What? Yeah. Bellator? There were Bellator events in Canada. Why do I not remember any Bellator events?
I didn't go to them, but it was years ago, but yes. Yeah, it's true. I never went to them, but. True story. But
Bales,
I don't want to.
Bales events in the weirdest places.
It's true. So I am really roughing it when you think about it that way.
Yeah, that's
in the Bellator country.
You're that. I'm pretty much in Bellator country too. Yeah.
I used to send you to Bellator nonstop.
Yeah.
In the old days. Yeah.
Back in the Paddy Curran days, which is named people won't remember.
All right. Enough nonsense. I just wanted to point out that you people are lucky. I'm actually recording. I should be sitting on the dock. No, that's not a good idea right now. You couldn't even see across the lake. It's so snowy up here. But anyhow, I'm happy to be here to talk about last night, even though I ended up losing. So, all right, we'll actually dig more into the event, even though we hit a lot of the main talking points already. But first, let me tell you about WynnBET. Right now is the perfect time to bet on basketball because today's a big day for basketball, right, Dan? This is the selection day. This used to be a big deal to me, and then I just stopped following college basketball for some reason. But today's the big day, right?
As a Gonzaga fan, since like the Dan Dickow era, I could not have a different experience than you.
Did they get number one?
They got the number one overall seed.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. All right, so I'm going to tell you about WynnBET because this is the perfect time to go to WynnBET and bet on basketball because WynnBET is helping you cash. March Madness bonus. All users who bet at least $50 on a men's college basketball champion futures market will receive a $10 free bet for each game that team wins in the tournament. Round of 16 through championship only. Plus, weekend bonus play. All users can receive a $50 free bet when they win, lose, or push, which is, I think, that's all the options possible, for $50 plus bets on Saturday or Sunday basketball games. Weekend bonus play can be used toward all the upcoming college basketball action as well as the NBA. You would have lost if you followed Dan's advice last night on his NBA, though. But anyhow, you were what, 1-for-2, I think, with your recommended place.
One and two. Yeah, I got my Jay Rue Holiday.
Jay Rue, yes. Jay Rue, the amateur you got, yes. And for new WynnBET casino customers, they're now offering a 100% first deposit match up to $1,000. That's right, 100% deposit match up to $1,000. Offer subject to change terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Look who's back, everyone. Manscaped. Woohoo! Spring has sprung. It hasn't up here yet, but it's going to spring soon. Spring is going to spring soon. But anyhow, our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning in your pants. Trust me, your confidence will be blooming like the flowers this upcoming spring. Time to clear out the winter bush and join the other 4 million men who trust Manscaped. Use code SGP to get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. This part says do not read. Should I read this part? It says in brackets, do not read. No, that's the part I skip. Oh, I'm supposed to tell a story about Dan hurting himself, grooming him. I've told all those stories. You guys know. Manscaped are the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming and have forever changed the grooming game with their amazing Performance Package 4.0. Inside this ball care bundle, you'll find I never thought I would say that and get paid for it, ball care bundle, but I did. You'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. The Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is a pube assassin, another phrase I never thought I'd say. Especially for money, but here we go. That is waterproof and equipped with an LED light, so you bet it's a major key to the new shower routine. This elite trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. Although your balls might look like punching bags, don't treat them like one. Benefit from the proprietary skin-safe technology. Have you ever met someone who finds nose hairs attractive? I don't think so. Have you, Dan?
I have quite a bit of nose hair, so maybe my wife.
Yeah. Maybe your wife. Get her on. We're going to have her on the pod. The Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose and ear holes. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is – no, it is not. This ad copy is lies. Well, at least not where I live, it's a lie. And this is crucial, so your balls stop sticking to your leg. You'll also find the Crop Reviver spray-on toner for your balls, which will keep you smelling fresh down there, just like spring flowers. Complete your grooming game this spring with the new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. It's not Bear. I think we discussed this before. It's not Bear. Dan would prefer it to smell like Bear, but it's not. This stuff is legit and will have you smelling like royalty. If you purchase now, you receive two free gifts, the Performance Box Briefs and Shed Travel Bag. Smell and feel good this spring. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. It's time to throw out your old hygiene habits and upgrade your life. There's a lot of possible names of our episode in that ad read, don't you think?
Yeah, always. Manscaped always brings the clean ad copy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's – I don't see the old trademark beside some of those phrases, so maybe I will be able to steal them. But nonetheless, we'll see where this episode goes. All right. Hopefully that's – no more talking about balls. Actually, there was a lot of eye pokes last night, but not hits below the waist. And last night was UFC fight night, or last afternoon – slash night, evening was UFC fight night, Santos versus Ankalaev from the UFC Apex. You may know it as UFC Vegas 50. Very exciting card, like we said. Things started off very well, very exciting and very well for Mr. Vreeland's picks. But let's go from the top to the bottom as we usually do. Main event, Magomed Ankalaev defeated Thiago Santos to 49-46, 49-46, 48-47. No real issues with that one. The right man won. Wasn't the craziest of fights. I don't think it really solidified Ankalaev as a top contender. I think it showed the issues that Santos is going to continue having, that all aging fighters have, is that they just can't pull the trigger like they used to. He had his flurries, but that's I think those are going to become even more few and far between. So I'm not impressed with other man, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm not impressed with your performance, to quote GSP.
Yeah, I think this actively hurts Magomed Ankalaev's title contender status. I think you can't go into a fight and fight like that and expect your chances at a title to be better. Like, he is 1,000% fighting Alexander Rejcic, Jan Blankovic winner next, or somebody of that nature. Yeah, Anthony Smith is a good one. Like, he has to fight somebody. If he had gone out there and he had flatlined Thiago Santos, yeah, he was getting the title shot. But here's the thing that was incredibly, incredibly frustrating against Magomed Ankalaev, is I said that Thiago Santos has trouble pulling the trigger, right? Like, and we talked about it tons in the lead-up, even in his win over Johnny Walker. That was his issue. Ankalaev dialed up the forward pressure. He had really great footwork. He was cutting off angles. He backed Santos's back all the way up to the cage for the vast majority of the fight, and then threw 38 straight feints while he waited for Santos to go first. And Santos already being a tentative striker since the John Jones fight, or, you know, you could draw a line to whenever you think he stopped being, you know, aggressive madman, right? Because he clearly stopped that at some point in time. But you take him who's already tentative, you back him up, which is already going to make him more tentative, right? Like, nobody is trying to punch their way out of that situation unless they're a crazy person. So, like, Magomed Ankalaev got perfectly what he wanted. He had a great opportunity to be aggressive, to unload on strikes, and to do so in a mostly safe way, right? Because if he winds up not liking the exchange, he backs away. He's got tons of room to do so. If he lands, he's got tons of room to just lay it on him and make it end the fight. If he wants to shoot a takedown, he's in the right position for that. And he couldn't pull the trigger. And that's kind of been my issue with Ankalaev. When all these people are talking about him being a future champion, or, you know, the clear cut, you know, heir to the throne, if whatever you want to call him, I've always had that problem with him, is that there are holes in this dude's game, and he doesn't have that, like, instinct that you can, like, point to where you're like, that dude clearly looks like he's going for it and knows the position he's in and knows what he's – like, yeah, he won this fight, and he won this fight fairly safely, but there was a couple of rounds – I mean, as we saw in the judges' scorecard, Santos clearly won two. Every judge gave him round two. And other judges, you know, some of those rounds are coin flips because, you know, I saw some tweets that said Ankalaev is running away with the fight here in the third round. And he had landed 16 significant strikes at that point. And I'm like, by what measure is he clearly running away with this? He's landing less than two punches a minute at this point. You know, you can't say he's running away with it. So, yeah, like, disappointed. I would also say, like, for everybody who sees his last name or his first name and is like, this dude can wrestle, like, he also didn't show really that his wrestling was all that impressive. So, nope. Long story short, selling if I have any shares on Magomed Ankalaev. I actually think, and this is maybe a hot take, I think Alexander Rajic should beat him. That's what I'm saying right now.
You pretend you had shares in him also is a hot take, because you clearly did not have any shares in Ankalaev.
No, that's true.
I think I only did too, because you were so fiercely in the other direction. But yeah, no,
You also have a bunch of shares in Macy Barber, then?
Yes, I do. She's going to be the UFC champ ever, haven't you heard? Anyhow, every episode that gal gets mentioned here, so her ears must be burning.
This isn't a Macy Barber podcast, is it?
It could be. It very much is every episode. It may as well be. That and EFC is what we talk about mostly. I think you could say Ankalaev was in more danger than Santos was in that fight. At certain points, I don't think he.
100%. Yeah.
I don't remember him ever having Santos. Did he knock him down once? I'm trying to think.
Santos knocked Ankalaev, or right, clipped Ankalaev. Clipped Ankalaev. Yeah. And I would say this, too. Like, if you're looking at it from that perspective, too, like, the first round, people could have scored it for Santos. Like, I don't think it's crazy to score that first round for Santos either. I personally didn't. But for the same reasons, like, I think I saw the total strikes number was like 9-11, and it was slightly in Santos' favor. And I think Santos was throwing just as hard as Ankalaev was, if not harder. So, like, you know, the backward pressure certainly didn't make it look good. And they're not supposed to score the fight on that those sets, but they also don't have stats, and they don't, you know, they're not tallying things as they go. But, like, I don't think it would have been crazy to give him the first. And if that was true, he clearly would have been up 2-0 in that fight. Which is insane for Ankalaev to be fighting like that.
Yeah, the killer instinct, as he said, is not there. And it hasn't been there since he stepped up past the Ian Kutalaba level of competition. He hasn't had finishes. It's impressive who he's beaten. Nikita Krylov, Volkan Ozdemir, Thiago Santos. Probably the last two are probably past their expiry date. But nonetheless, no finishing. Not even like a hint of finishing ability, at least in this last fight. I don't remember anything past last night, of course, because that's the way my brain works. But anyhow, it is light heavyweight, so who knows? And he's only 29, so he may still have a future here. And when is the title fight? Glover's first fight.
It got pushed, if I'm not mistaken. But it's like later in the summer now. I want to say June or it's June.
Okay. He's
fighting
fight
in June. So yeah,
he's gonna have to fight again. Yep.
He was already kind of on the cusp of needing to fight again, right? Like he was very much like kind of in that no man's land as far as when he was being booked and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like, when you're in that no man's land, what you got to do is you got to go put on a performance, right? Like you got to go take a dude out, and he didn't do that. So it seems like he's going to have to fight. Although I don't know if they've rebooked Blankovic Rajic yet, but the winner of that, Anthony Smith, something of that extent, he's going to need to beat somebody like that. And he's going to need to do it a lot more impressive than he just did.
Yes, exactly. But we hit minus 550, so our $100 bet made us 18-18. Hooray. Co-main event, I famously called Dan a fool for this pick. Hopefully he's on my fade Marlon Moraes train now. But Song Yadong, who's not even a knockout artist, knocked out Marlon Moraes 2 minutes and 6 seconds into the first round. As I predicted, Marlon Moraes is shot. He's been knocked out or TKO'd in five of his last six fights now. Are you finally ready to jump off that train, Dan, and stop wasting your plus 200 bets on Marlon Moraes?
So I'm going to say two things. First of all, yes, I am.
Very good.
And actually, like, I also think Marlon Moraes is off that train too, because if you were watching that fight, when they went to do the post-fight interview with Song Yadong, Moraes had his gloves off and in his hand, and he had even rewrapped the tape around the cuffs. Which is typically only a move you do when you're tired, and it didn't look like the announcers noticed. And then he just kind of skirted out the back of this cage. So I think if the announcers had noticed, I bet you they would have went over and asked him, and I bet you he would have laid him down. So I think Marlon Moraes is out too. Four straight knockouts. His chin clearly just doesn't hold up anymore. I thought it might. But here's the other thing I will say, too, in defense of my analysis on Wednesday.
Always
going to defend my analysis. He didn't even try to wrestle him.
I told you that was silly for you to think that to begin with, Dan.
But it's not silly for me to think that he could or should. And I'm not even positive it's crazy for me to think to argue that he wouldn't. He hasn't in multiple of his last fights, right? Like, he did with Rob Font. He did with Corey Sandhagen. He didn't as much with Jose Aldo, but he did a little bit with Jose Aldo. You know, like, he has sort of gone back to his wrestling ways a little bit. I mean, not against Merab Dvalishvili, but, like, who would against Merab Dvalishvili? But he didn't even try against Song Yadong, which, when I saw him get into some positions where I'm like, he could have shot a double there, or he could have pressed him against the cage there, and then he didn't, I was like, oh, this is going to be it. He's just not going to win this fight.
Jeff's going to dance all over my grave. So anyhow.
That's okay. I got some picks later we can talk about.
Oh, you sure do. You sure do. So I hit Yadong minus 260. I don't know if it's showed us anything about Yadong. He's a good young prospect. But notching his bias out.
It showed me he does have more punching power than I give him credit for. Like, not that knocking out Marlon Moraes is, like, more impressive than knocking out Julio Arce, but, like, the combination he hit him with was pretty slick. And while Marlon Moraes' brain is pretty shot, like, that uppercut, I think, would have put a lot of people out. The uppercut.
Good.
Yeah, at the end of that. I don't know, especially because you're on vacation. I don't know how much of the post-fight interviews you watched. Did you watch his?
Zero. Oh, okay. I know he said something in English at the end, apparently.
Yeah. Right. Do you want to guess who he called out?
Bantamweight. Conor McGregor. No, I don't know who.
No. Who does every young Team Alpha male call out?
Sean O'Malley.
No, close Sean though.
O'Malley, no.
Alpha male, every young
Dominic
Alpha male
Cruz?
Product has been taught to call out Dominic Cruz.
Dominic Cruz. Okay. Does Dominic Cruz like Yadong?
I think Dominic Cruz is done with the Alpha male thing. He owns them, with the exception of Cody Garbrandt, who's seemingly like not part of Team Alpha Male anymore. Although I guess the TJ Dillashaw thing, he's away from Team Alpha Male now. It always just seems like Uriah Faber just like needs one more chance to beat him, and he's gonna live vicariously through whatever young gun is punching their way through the bantamweight division.
Yes, very, very true. But anyhow, a good win for me. I could take all the wins I could get last night. We hit the next one. Actually, I had a fan on Twitter who had the Yadong Yusef parlay that he asked me my advice on beforehand. Lucky I gave him the thumbs up, and it came through for him. So I had a lot of people sending me their winnings on Twitter last night. It was a good night for lots of people. All right, Sadiq Youssef, featherweights. Beat a very game, Alex Caceres. Both guys looked very good in this fight. 33-7, 32-7, 29-28. So it looks like it was a whitewash for Youssef, but it was a closer fight than that, I would say. And a very good bounce back win for Youssef. We got him at minus 250.
Yeah, it was weird to me again. He seemed a little tentative in that fight, which ultimately cost him, because that's not Alex Caceres. I was also really impressed with Alex Caceres' attempts at taking Yusuf back. Like, he was all in on trying to score that, and he didn't. But, great fight by Caceres. I don't think this hurts his stock at all, although, you know, his win streak goes down. It was actually probably a more impressive performance than any of his wins over, you know, the type of people he's beaten. Who's he beaten? Like Kevin Kroom and other like short notice hooligans. And he beat Austin.
Oh, there's a title. Dan just stumbled onto our
short
title.
Short notice hooligans.
Yes, that's fantastic. Well,
and that's a nice. Oh no, damn it! It would have been nice if that segued right into the Drew Dover Terrence McKinney fight.
I thought you were gonna say Paddy Houlihan was back in the UFC, but no.
Oh,
he the hooligan?
I loved Paddy the Hooligan.
Yeah.
He headlined a UFC event. Did you know that?
He did. Yeah. I do know that.
Do you remember the opponent?
Yes, he's not in the UFC either anymore, is he? That Brazilian kid.
No.
No? Okay, I'm thinking of someone wrong.
He just got cut, I think, but he might still be in the UFC too.
Oh, was it the Hawaiian fellow?
Yes.
You're
almost there.
Who had a drinking problem, and then he beat it, and then he came back to the UFC, and his name, he's still, I don't think he's been cut. And I'm picturing him right now, and he's kind of tall and lanky for the division.
His nickname is Da Last Samurai.
Right. Yes. I know all this, but I can't think of his name, Dan, because I didn't prepare for this.
Luis Smolka.
Yes. Luis Smolka. Yes.
Boy, who beat Paddy Houlihan in the main event of that,
people are
that fight card.
Hitting the skip button now, aren't they? Hitting that skip button. They're talking about a horrible UFC event. That was in Ireland, right?
Yeah, it was in Ireland.
The Houlihan was, yes.
And I think the main event of that dropped out, too. Like, it was supposed to be Dustin Poirier, Joe Duffy, or Stipe versus somebody, or like something like that back in the day, and all of them fell out, and they were left with hometown boy Paddy Houlihan, who didn't even win. He's like a government official in Ireland now.
Yeah, he's an elected official, yes. All this because Dan said hooligans. That's what happens in this podcast. One word sets us off down a path to nowhere. So, all right. We kind of want to ignore the next three fights anyhow, so maybe that's why you're taking us into the ditch again. We miss on the next three. One of them hurt us real bad, but we already talked about that one. But I'm jumping way ahead. But we didn't. Yeah. Okay.
We missed.
I'm getting my Robertson. We missed on Robertson and Robertson. I'm getting Robertson and Robertson mixed up. But yes, we missed on. I know he gave some motivational speech after, because I saw him crying. That's the only reason I know. And I heard him say 300 pounds, and I saw him crying, and he zoomed in on his face. But screw Khalil Rountree. He can't be trusted. You never know what you're going to get with that guy. He always has a different fighting style, and sometimes he's good and sometimes he's bad. And last night we picked against him, and he was good, and he won via body kick and punches to Carl Robertson 25 seconds into the second round. But yeah, screw that guy. I know he's a good guy, so don't really. I'm not really saying that, but yeah, you can't trust him.
Yeah, he looked like, and I said it in the breakdown on Wednesday. He could come out and be the guy who beat the piss out of Eric Anders.
Yeah,
and he wasn't that guy. He was better than that guy, which is insane.
Yeah, he's different again. He's always different.
Yeah,
he's going to go on a slump. Now he's going to lose three straight and look like crap because we're going to pick him.
If he looked like he did against Carl Roberson, which, by the way, Carl Roberson looks like he should have been at 205 pounds his whole life.
Yeah.
He finally looked healthy, which is nice. Yep. Obviously, the
until he got punched real bad and crumpled up and gave up, basically, because his body was done.
Yeah, but Roundtree looked amazing.
He did.
That's the Khalil Roundtree that I would watch on every fucking guard. Because he's so good. And, you know, now that he's two in a row, he didn't look outstanding in the Mudostis-Bukauskas fight.
Although he got that knockout. You're starting to let him sway you, Dan. I can feel it. Don't do it. Don't get tricked, Dan. Don't.
I think I like him.
No! Don't do it. He's tricking you with his crocodile tears. No.
When you look through his record, it is insane to talk about the people he beat and the people he lost to.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, knocked out Gokhan Saki, who is a notable kickboxer. Knocked out Paul Craig. Knocked out Carl Roberson. Beat the piss out of Eric Anders. And you're like, wow. What a fantastic fighter. Lost a decision to Marcin Procneo.
Yep.
Got rear naked choked by Tyson Pedro, decisioned by Andrew Sanchez. Like, what?
I think the Pedro one's the worst one there, right? Getting choked up by Tyson Pedro. That's got to be the worst one there.
I mean, Tyson Pedro is another one who, like, I wish I could tell you who Tyson Pedro is. Yeah. He beat Paul Craig, too.
I know Roundtree's – apparently his legal age is 32, but he's not 32. Look at that guy.
That mustache is at least 46.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to hate on one of the nicest people in the UFC because we lost this pick. We lost the next one, too. This one was the real heartbreaker, Dan, because, like I said, this would have put me out of the red and into the black. Because this was like a $250 swing based on $100 bets. Terrence McKinney came out like Terrence McKinney always comes out. I'm not complaining, but I think it could have legitimately been stopped. I have no complaint that it wasn't stopped, but I think he had Dober hurt enough that some refs would have stopped the fight and it wouldn't have been a huge uproar. But anyhow, and I don't think it really was the case of McKinney gassing out either. It's just Drew Dober is too tough and he put it on him. So it only lost 3-17 because it was a Terrence McKinney fight, but he lost via TKO knees and punches, but he very easily could have won via TKO knees and punches as well. Any of the minutes leading up to that.
Yeah. I'm going to dispute you just slightly on that one. I do think it was an exhaustion play.
You think so?
I, as a matter of fact, I tweeted it. If you go back and look at
my God, then that's legit. Then
I immediately was like when you saw him get up, for the last time before he eats that Dober knee, he throws two right hands and they are two of the slowest right hands I've ever seen Terrence McKinney throw. And I'm just going to say this. It looked like when he was on the ground, he was not willing to move. And I don't think it was necessarily that he couldn't, or I think he got broken. And I think he was tired and broken all at the same time. I will say this. I think he blew his chance at this fight, both by being crazy wildly over-aggressive, but also, like, after having Dober hurt, he needed to settle into position, and instead he just unloaded. And, like, Dober is game, so Dober has good defense and gets up. Whereas if he had found a way to, like, you know, look for the back and sink his hooks in as Dober got up, or, you know, tried to code a mount and grapevine the legs or something like that, like, if he had done something like that, I think the finishing strikes would have happened, but instead he just tried to throw wildly from wherever it was. I'll debate you a little bit on that. I don't think it was exhaustion, but I'll also say this, hopefully this is the prospect loss. This dude needs to figure it out.
Yeah. No, I don't think this has hurt his stock in the least. He would have finished pretty much any other fighter that didn't have a as cool of a part shaved into their head as Drew Dober has, I think, basically.
Or a chin that looks like he is.
You think it's more the chin than the cool part he has shaved in his head always?
That dude looks like the Incredibles cousin.
He's, yeah, he, this pretty much, I, I'll still take +150 on McKinney any day of the week against any opponent. And the fight pretty much went the way we could have pictured it going. Dober's very, very hard to finish, and McKinney very closely had him finished. So anyhow,
if you ran it back, I'd take McKinney at +150 today.
Yeah,
like if they were going to do a rematch in 2 weeks, I'd take McKinney at +150.
How about the next fight, middleweights? Would you take Bruno Silva +150 against Alex Pereira? He lost 30-27, 30-27. Closer than the skunking that the judges' scorecards said. But I think it was the reach. Pereira's reach was just too much. Silva was very game, but Pereira's reach and his power won the day. Plus, his takedown defense wasn't too horrible. I know he was getting taken down by a fellow kickboxer, but he got himself back up and stuffed some takedowns. So decent win for him.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't take +150 on Silva after seeing that there. Like, I expected him to wrestle a little bit more than he did, which is a little bit disappointing. But he did hit him in I wouldn't say it rocked Pereira, but Pereira opened, like, his eyes opened a little bit wide after a couple of those strikes. And you were like, oh, okay, clearly he's got something here. So yeah, I'm not sure I'd take +150 again, but I'm not like bummed that I had that pick ultimately.
No. Yeah. He seemed to like pause Pereira a few times in that fight. Pereira seems to stop anytime Silva like got him good. So yeah, almost maybe he's like a cyborg or something, Dan. You never know. Did you know that he beat Israel Adesanya before?
Oh,
Dan?
God. Can we play that line a little bit? Yeah, also,
Adesanya would tear him apart in MMA at this point is all I have to say. But go ahead.
I think you're right on that, and I would also say this too: like that division right now is a good division for him to be in because there are so few really good grapplers. But like, I think there are guys in this division, guys maybe not even in the top 15, that would beat him by wrestling him.
Yeah.
You know, like, and like, that's not to take anything away from him because his kickboxing is nice. Like, he is very fast with those hands. But there's shit about his game that I think is going to be exploited at some point in time. But I guess we'll see.
We shall see. So that concluded the main card. I went 3-3, yuck. But Dan went 2-4. Yikes. But don't worry. The prelims are coming. This is where Dan shines. He shines so much that he had the crazy idea to have his very own podcast just on prelims. And it's called Prelim Primer. Picker.
Got it.
Primer.
You got
Primer.
It.
Primer. Primer. You used to have a column called Prelim Picker also. You're all about the prelims.
Always
put your name on the prelims.
Yeah.
All right. So let's, before we dip into these prelims quickly, let me tell you about Stable Duel. There are never enough things to gamble on in the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there's a new way to play the ponies, especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out Stable Duel, a daily fantasy style app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $25,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com. See how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win at StableDuel. If you download the apps, you got to download the SGPN app. We're now live in the App Store and Google Play. It gives easy access to all our picks, all our podcasts. We just launched a couple new feeds for fantasy hockey podcast, fantasy basketball podcast. So the rocket is blasting off in SGPN land. So grab our app, get all that good stuff. Give us an app review if you could as well. All right, let's move on to prelims. The main event of the prelims was Matthew Semelsberger beating AJ Fletcher, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. We got this one. We got in at -240 on this one. Very close fight. Fletcher was very game, very good wrestling. Semelsberger, I just wanted to race in the cage and cut his bangs for him so he could see what he was doing because he was a shaggy dog in there. But anyhow, he ended up coming through. Semi, the shaggy dog, came through.
And I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit on this one. Everybody was talking about AJ Fletcher like out-wrestling the hell out of Semelsberger in this fight. Anybody who had Fletcher as a dog. And I said straight up, people are sleeping on how good of a wrestler Semelsberger is. If you've seen him in the regional circuit, he wrestled quite a bit there. His knockouts are not indicative of the style of fighter he is. He also wrestled in high school, too, which I feel like not enough people know. So, and ultimately, won in the fight with the third round. Semmelsberger's wrestling, not his striking. I was happy to see him both win for us and also really great, gritty victory for a guy who's like a very gritty fighter.
Yes, cut your hair, please, before next fight.
He used to have a more gnarly looking moment. It was like a shaggy mop this time.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
He should go back to the moment.
Just it was obviously bugging him too.
Come on,
man.
Well, it was tied up in round one, was it not? I know this is the analysis that everybody wants.
I noticed it getting in his eyes in round one. So if it was tied up, it must have
come right
loose.
Out. Yeah.
I don't have hair like that, so I don't know the dynamics or the mechanics behind it. So. And neither does Dan.
I used to.
Oh, yeah, that's like, right. I've seen the pictures.
Back in like my baseball playing days. Yeah, I used to look like Forrest Gump when he goes for his run.
There you go. Movie I've not seen fully. Only parts.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of movies like that I haven't seen.
Hang on a second.
Parts of it. I haven't seen the whole movie.
How have you only seen parts?
No, it's been on places where I've been, I guess, but I've never seen the whole movie.
There's no good reason to that. It's
cinematic history, of course. The next fight was not cinematic history at all.
No, it was terrible.
Gigi Alridge, Jillian Robertson. It was Jillian Robertson would have been a good fighter like about 20 years ago or so. Apparently all she can do is grapple, and grappling did not work last night, and we lost this fight, and she lost the fight 3-0. Was Dean Thomas this one dimensional when he fought her coach? I don't remember him being this one dimensional. She was very one dimensional.
I don't remember either, but the other problem is it's not even just like that she can't box and she can only grapple. It's that the entries to her grappling via her striking are also not good.
Ugh.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's not even like, so Mackenzie Dern, if we go back to like when she first made it to the UFC, and she's evolved immensely since her UFC debut. So I'm not shortchanging Mackenzie Dern here or comparing her to Jillian Robertson. But if you looked at early Mackenzie Dern, her striking was bad. It was not good in any way. But it did have a means to getting her to her grappling. Like she knew how to like spam shots so that she could get close enough so that she could get the takedown. There were times where Jillian Robertson accidentally got into range and then was out of position for the takedown. She just doesn't have the tools to get to the takedown, which is it's probably the most frustrating thing because on the mat, she might be, apart from Erin Blanchfield, the best 125er on the planet once she gets you to the mat. The problem is she just can't get her there. So, yeah, I'm curious if we've seen her ceiling because she is really young still, right? Like she's not an old fighter by any means. She's only 26, about to turn 27. So like there is clearly room for growth on her still, but you would have think we'd seen, like I said, not like I don't expect her to have like a great jab or like, you know, low leg kicks that are suddenly working for her, an overhand route. Like, I don't mean that I expect her to have good striking at any point in her career, but striking that serves a purpose, and she doesn't even have that. So the fact that she does it by now with that many fights under her belt seems like a red flag.
Yeah, I think the experience is more of a factor than the age at this point. She's been in the UFC for a long time as well, and if you haven't seen progress by this point, then you may be out of luck. So, I don't know. We whiffed in this one. Aldridge's takedown defense was far too good. At what age will Aldridge not get ID'd when she tries to buy beer or something, Dan?
Because
29 is not the correct answer, apparently.
She looks like she's 16, right? Like,
it's wild, yeah.
But she's wild. Mean for it. Also, I feel like we're not talking about this enough. That's 3 in a row for her.
Let's talk about it.
She's on like a pretty damn good streak. Now she had a split decision loss before that, but she's not really all that far from having 4 straight victories or 5 straight victories in the UFC. So like maybe not the most exciting one to watch, but like she is slowly kind of threatening it at flyweight, which is pretty interesting at this point.
Yep, 3 straight, 4-5. In UFC, she is 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, and 2. So that's not too shabby. Not a whole lot of killers on her hit list, but nonetheless, this probably was the, maybe Courtney Casey win was bigger than this one, but yeah, and she's still fairly young, and maybe she's even younger than she's the opposite. She's the bizarre world Khalil Roundtree Jr.
Well, what about Sonya Dong? Doesn't he lie about his age too?
Maybe.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's still, what, he's like 19 or something like that.
Yeah, how dare you? You're as mad that you lost in that one. All right, we didn't lose in the next one. Javid Basharat versus Trevin Jones. I wasn't sure if we were going to win, though. Trevin Jones was very game. 33-7, 33-7, 29-28. Trevin Jones had that top turtle stank on him and ended up losing the fight. But it definitely wasn't in the bag until I heard all the judges' cards read out. Jones was very game, but Basharat. I would have liked to see a bit more killer instinct finishing or trying to finish for Basharat, but maybe it was just based on the opponent he was fighting. But anyhow, we hit this one minus 150.
Yeah, I mean, I think he went in there and did enough, really, for what I was expecting him to do. Like, it's hard to say that he, like, didn't, you know, bust his ass enough to get a finish or to do something because, like, in one sense, yeah, I can see that. Like, I can see you complaining that he didn't go for broke. But, like, he's also a dude making his debut against a 3-fight UFC veteran. And, like, I don't know. He did a really good job of pouring strikes on. I would have liked to seen him grapple a little more because I actually think he had a bigger grappling advantage there. But, yeah, like, I'm not hating on what he did at that point.
That's become the joke of this podcast. You always want people to grapple more, it seems.
Always. Always. Literally, literally always.
It's true. All right, so we hit that one. Let me tell you about ProSwap before we wrap up this here card. We're brought to you by ProSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. March Madness is around the corner. It's actually right here knocking on the door. And ProSwap is your place to cash in on the big dance. Every season, prop swappers make thousands of dollars by simply buying and selling college basketball teams. Dan and I want to sell. Who do we want to sell? Megamed and Kalayev. So if we can sell him a prop swap, maybe we'll be onto something. All right. You can always find the best odds on prop swap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself, like Gil from New Jersey, who purchased a Murray State Championship ticket on prop swap at 225-1 odds. Well, sports books are only offering 150-1 odds. Now is the time to find those Cinderellas while the odds are high and cash out on prop swap when the tourney starts. When you're making your bets, remember to go 4-2, make two tickets on the same team so you can sell one for profit and keep one to let it ride. ProSwap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free ProSwap app today. ProSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red-hot tickets for sale, loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and ProSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on ProSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, let's wrap this here thing up. Damon Jackson. I am on the Damon Jackson train, and I'm glad that we both picked him. We had good value on him. It was basically a pick him, minus 112. He looked fantastic again. Arm triangle choke, Kamuela Kirk. And he has similar hair to me, so I got to root for Damon Jackson.
speaking of people who don't quite look their age, like he looks like he's more than a year older than me, like maybe more than 1 year, but he is exactly, almost to the day, 1 year older than me. Because I looked it up and I was like, that hairline, not doing that man any favors. But hey, his grappling is insane. It's so good.
Yeah, this late career resurgence of his is very good to see. So,
well, to be fair too, just to, not the to drag on a Damon Jack, but like we say late career resurgence, this is a dude whose first run in the UFC I think was a little bit hated on in kind of a shitty way because first of all he lost to Yancy Medeiros on short notice in his first fight. He fought a dude who tested positive for steroids in his second fight, and then he had a weird draw in his third fight due to subtracted points, and then they released him, which is kind of crazy.
His hair fell out.
Yeah, well, I think his hair – he was actually kind of bald then already. but he was a guy going into that who was undefeated. He was undefeated. He went one draw, 0-1-1 in a no contest, and they released him. which is weird. And he's got wins over legit dudes. Like, he had beaten Leonard Garcia already. So, yeah, like, this is a late career resurgence, but I also think we just, like, didn't get to see a real good look at him the first time.
We are now, and he's doing quite well for himself. Someone who's not losing their hair, how's that for a segue? Miranda Maverick submitted Sabina Mazza, rear naked choke, 215 into the second round. We hit this one right. It came right down to the grappling. Maverick's too strong physically and skill-wise in the grappling department for Mazza to handle.
Yeah, and all I could think of during this fight was just how good fucking Aaron Blanchfield is at grappling.
Yep. Yeah,
because, my God, yeah, for Maverick to do that to Mazza, who, like, survived with Alexis Davis for quite a while, right? Mazza hung in there with Alexis Davis in her grappling for a while. She did not hang in there with Miranda Maverick. Miranda Maverick just put it on her. So, again, I'm still very high on Miranda Maverick, despite the back-to-back losses, if you even call them that. I look forward to seeing her in there soon.
It all comes back to Macy Barber once again.
I didn't say the name this time.
Middleweight fight, Dan made me pick Dolcho Lugiambula. It almost came through for me. And then, you know, he got himself a guillotine choke by Cody Brundage.
I'm pretty sure I said verbatim that Dolcho Lugiambula was going to absolutely dump out his gas tank and have a tough time with a grappler. And he emptied out his gas tank and had a tough time with the grappler. Now,
and only took 341 for that to happen.
Yeah, and I did think Cody Brundage would get, like, to the offensive side of the grappling a little bit quicker. Like, I thought he would shoot a double, but, like, he didn't even have time. He was getting smothered. But, like, also, just how bad is the fight IQ of Dolcho Lugiambula, who is unloading on
Here's
Cody Brundage. Unloading on Cody Brundage, and he shot a head on the outside double leg takedown. Just the dumbest shit you've ever seen, and I loved every second of it. It even made my DraftKings lineup win because I had Cody Brundage.
Nice. My next fight was dumb. Also, Guido Canetti, the oldest fighter in bantamweight, TKO'd Chris Motino. I got this one wrong too. Dan hit plus money on this one, back to back plus money.
Yeah, I have no faith in Chris Moutinho. I think I said it on the show.
Is there anything to say? Do you have any faith in Canetti after that, though, either?
I said before, like, and I think you said that, you know, why trust a 42-year-old guy at a 3-fight losing streak? And I said he didn't look bad in that Manny Martinez fight. In boxing, Manny Martinez is a dangerous prospect. That dude tagged Ronnie Lawrence. So for Canetti to have gone 3 hard rounds with him and even stole it on one judge's scorecard, which I think was a bad scorecard, but, like, to have done that, I think Canetti's better than people give him credit for.
There you go. Fine, whatever. You won the pick, so I can't argue against it. And then main event, the curtain jerker, Azamat Mirzakhanov, who also has similar hair to me, flying knee KO'd Tayfun Inchukwi, 44 seconds into the third round. Pretty good fight. Glad we had Mirzakhanov. Interesting to see where he goes in this division since that was his debut.
Yeah, he had a little bit of trouble in there in the early parts. I didn't look up the scorecards. I'm kind of trying to do it on the fly right now during that fight card. But a lot of people had him losing, which I'm checking right now. He was tied going into the third round on two judges' scorecards, and our old friend Adelaide Bird had him down too. Yeah, so maybe it's good that he did get the finish.
Yes.
Didn't matter what he did in that last round. Adelaide Bird was not giving him the fight, so it's a good thing he knocked him out. It was a crazy knockout too. That was a hell of a way to kick off a card.
Sure was. And Dan had a hell of a prelim. This, like I said, this man's whole reputation is built on prelims. 7-1 last night in the prelims. I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 3. So I did all right, but Dan did spectacular, and that made the night for Dan. He went 9-5 overall. He made $61 overall, Dan. You never make money. You never make money overall.
Roman in it.
And I went 8-6 and lost $221. So I'm, like I said, Terrence McKinney, it all hinged on that. And this dropped my hit percentage. I'm down to 66% overall this year. Dan's up to 59%. I'm still up about $113. Dan's down $780. But betting $100 in every fight is not the way to go unless you're as good as I am at picking fights, obviously. Recommended plays. We took this on the chin also. Dan hit $40 on Basharat winning. He hit that one, but then he lost on Robertson. He lost on McKinney via sub, and he lost on a parlay of McKinney, Canetti, and Youssef. So it all hinged on McKinney. So Dan went 1-3, lost $33 there. I lost on McKinney. I lost on Robertson via sub. I hit on Semelsberger winning. I hit on Maverick winning, but that was not enough to get me out of the red. I was 31. I was down $31. I went 2-2. So overall recommended plays, Dan's at 62%. I'm at 58%. Dan is still racking in a return on investment of 23%. So you can't complain over that. So anyhow, good night of fights. And we have more coming up, hopefully. Have we heard about the main event yet? I heard that Volkov's visa is still, Alexander Volkov is supposed to headline the UFC's return to London, the O2 Arena next weekend. He's fighting Tom Aspinall. He's scheduled to fight Tom Aspinall in the main event. But Supreme Leader Putin has thrown a spanner in the works, as they would say in London, and Volkov may not get visa'd. I think that's still up in the air as far as I just read a minute ago.
Yeah, and there are a lot of Russian fighters on this, and we don't have to get into the politics of any of this, as people clearly don't like that we do. But the other thing, too, to say about Tom Aspinall is, like, he was originally supposed to fight Sergei Pavlovich, I believe. Yep. And if Volkov's not available, I'm going to safely assume Pavlovich is also not. And then you're like, oh, well, he could just fight Pavlovich's opponent, who is Shamil Abdurakhimov, yep. Which, again, if Volkov and Pavlovich are not available, I sort of assume Abdurakhimov is not available. I mean, I guess unless one of these guys, and I'm unaware, is training, you know, like, I don't know, sometimes like American Top Team has like some foreign guys training with them. So like unless one of those guys kind of fits that, but yeah, I really wouldn't hold out hope that they're going to either. Like it seems like there's no chance.
Yeah, this is very obviously the couldn't have foreseen this in advance, or maybe they could have if they were insiders, but this card is very much set up as Russia versus Europe, which isn't, like I said, doesn't look very good in hindsight, but
there's only those three and one other Russian guy fighting on the card. I mean, unless you count Mohammed Mokaev, who's born in Russia but like immediately got out and is now has British citizenship and is very proud of his British citizenship. So like there's only four Russian dudes on the card and two of them are fighting each other. So it's not quite that set up yet.
There's more. We got Volkov, we got Krylov, we got Abdurakhimov.
Krylov is he's Ukrainian.
Russian. Oh yes, right. So he has Russian heritage, though. That makes it even, that's even
sicker. I think he lived in Russia for a little while, but he is born and fights out of Ukraine. So I would say maybe be careful on that one.
I think we better end the podcast right now. But anyhow, this is a good-looking card on paper. I hope it comes through for our selfish sake. So no matter what the UFC serves up on Saturday, we will have the picks for you all come Wednesday. I'm bailing on this podcast. I've given you enough on my vacation. Anyhow, I wasn't going to say anything to get me in trouble, but still, I have food to pick up. So thank you for coming to the podcast, as a famous man likes to start his podcast by saying. Thank you for coming. You can follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He's going to be reeling. Given the SGPN Slack, it's lots of fun. People were making lots of money last night because they're degens and they just throw money after money after money until they hit something, I think is the way it goes in there. So follow us there. Read all our stuff in Sports Gambling Podcast. You can subscribe to my newsletter. Website thingamajig moneymma.substack, so moneymma.substack.com to get all the payouts from last night and other goodies. I think that's it. I'm gonna let Dan take you home this time. Go, Dan, go.
All right. I'm David Gumby Freeland. He is Jeff the Baddie Fox, and we will catch you next week.
Oh, we're
or no, next, catch you on Wednesday.
And the baddie is we're foreshadowing for Wednesday. You just wait.